Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, 11 through 32. All the tax collectors and sinners were gathered around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus told them this parable. A certain man had two sons. The younger said to his father, "Give me my share of our inheritance." Then the father divided his estate between his sons. Soon afterward, the younger gathered everything together and took a trip to a faraway land. There he wasted his wealth through extravagant living. When he'd used up his resources, a severe food shortage arose in that country, and he began to be in need. He hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to eat his fill from what the pigs were given, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have had more than enough food, but I'm starving to death? I will get up and go to my father and say to him, 'I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Take me on as one of your hired hands.' So he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion. The father ran to his son, hugged him, and kissed him. Then his son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Fetch the fattened calf and slaughter it. We must celebrate with feasting, because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. Coming in from the field, he approached the house and heard the music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what was going on. The servant replied, 'Your brother has arrived, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he received his son back safe and sound.' Then the older son was furious and didn't want to enter. But his father came out and begged him. 'Look, I have served you all these years,' the son said, 'and never disobeyed your instruction. Yet you've never given me so much as a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours returned after gobbling up your estate on prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him.' Then his father said, 'Son, you were always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is now alive. He was lost and is found.'" These are holy words for holy people. Thank you.
So in the Gospels, most of the time that Jesus preaches, he preaches in the form of a story. Storyteller. Because people relate to stories. Stories are part of what makes us who we are. How we understand ourselves in the world, how we understand our place in the world, is often expressed or told through stories. When you get together with friends, you get together around a dinner table, you tell stories. A friend of mine, well, he's not really a friend, he's an acquaintance and a coworker of mine. We're not close enough really to be friends, just because of geography more than anything, was serving a small rural church and decided at one point that he would start telling Bible stories as bedtime stories in the sermon. One Sunday, he even showed up in a red nightshirt with a stocking cap and a little candle. And a lady who had brought her adult son to church turned to him and said, "See, I told you he was different." um, would tell the stories as a bedtime story. And I think that's cool. I heard one of them, and I loved it. And when Jesus told stories, he told stories about what he called the kingdom or the empire or the commonwealth of God. And the commonwealth of God is an alternative reality. It's the world turned upside down, or maybe the world turned right side up, where the world expects this, God does that. Where the world lifts up wealth and power, God lifts up powerlessness and self-giving. Where the world says that the world belongs to the rich and the powerful, Jesus says the world will be inherited by the meek and the poor and the lowly. This is one of those stories. And if you listen carefully to the story, you might learn a little something about who you are. You might learn a little something about who God is. So, here's your bedtime story from the perspective of the dad. I got these two sons. They are gonna be the death of me. Oh. The younger one, his mother, God rest her soul, his mother always said, that boy has got a mind of his own, and she did not mean it as a compliment. He never would do what I asked him to do. He was daydreaming, and he was doing everything he could to avoid the work. And he was running around with his friends, staying out late past curfew. He drove me nuts. So many nights. I would sit up late with my head in my hand like this, going, what am I going to do with that boy? Now, the older one, he doesn't give me so many worries. He's always done what I asked him to do around the farm. He saves his money. He makes good decisions. But he's kind of a jerk. I mean, he makes good decisions, but he stares down his nose at anybody who doesn't decide like he does. He really thinks that because he's made smarter decisions, that he's better than someone who doesn't. And I try to teach him, you know, the world doesn't work like that. Not everybody has the head start that you've had. You know, I built this farm, I worked on this farm, I have built up some savings and an inheritance for you, and you've had a head start in life, and you've got some privilege that not everybody has that's made making good decisions easier for you. But he just doesn't seem to get it. He just doesn't seem to figure it out. I knew that we were headed for trouble. when the young one came up to me and said, "Dad, I am not cut out for this farm life. This is not for me. I'm a city boy born on a farm." And this lifestyle is bringing me down. I know you've got money saved up for me. Why should I have to wait until you die to enjoy it? And I knew that because he was a kid with a mind of his own, he's so stubborn and so bullheaded that he was going to take off to the city with or without the money. And if he didn't have any money, he was surely going to fail. And if he did have money, he was probably going to fail. But I did not want to guarantee that the kid would be flat broke, so I gave it to him. And I knew it was a mistake the moment I did it, because he went to the city, and the city can be an unforgiving place. If you are a stranger in a strange city, and you don't know anybody, and you don't have a support system, and you don't have a job, you will burn through what little money you have in no time. Which is exactly what he did. Now, when he was in the city, I never heard from him. I had no idea if he was even alive or dead, and the only things that I really know, or that I think I know, are things that I have just heard. But all the stuff they have in the city that we don't really have out here on the farm, he loved it. And he was going to the bars and buying rounds of drinks for who he thought were his friends. He was spending his money on fine clothes. He was spending his money that just burned a hole in his pocket. And he burned through it fast. And I've heard rumors of a drug problem. I have heard rumors of spending money on relationships that didn't work out. I have heard rumors that he was just blowing through money like it grew on trees. Until he wound up broke and homeless and hungry. And that whole time, after the older one went to bed, I would just sit on the porch and stare down the end of the road, wishing, hoping that my boy would come home. And one day, he did. He did. He was alive. He looked terrible. I'm sure glad his mother didn't see him like this. Home. I got up off the porch and I ran. I ran and I took him in my arms and he just collapsed because he didn't have any strength left in him. He just had nothing left in the tank and he just collapsed into my arms. He said, "Dad, I'm sorry. I messed up. I got nowhere else to go. Can I have a job?" I said, "Job? You don't need a job. You just need to be home." Let's get you cleaned up. So I sent out a message to everyone who worked on the farm. My boy is home. Let's have a party. So we did. We threw a bash. It was off the chain. Everybody was there. There was music. There was laughter. It was awesome. And we're just celebrating because my boy was home. And the older one showed up. And I could tell something was wrong from the second I saw him coming toward me. I said, "Son, what's up?" He said, "What's up? You know what's up. What's the matter with you, Dad? What is your problem?" "I knew it. I just knew that you were some kind of big wimp who was never going to hold him accountable for all of the terrible stuff that he's done. He squandered every dime you gave him. He has gone out. He has made terrible decisions. And you're going to reward him? You're just gonna forgive him like that? What kind of a person are? What kind of a father does that for his son? Your son went out and wasted your money. And I'll just bet you're gonna give him some of mine." And I looked at him and I said, "Why do you have to be like this, son?" Why do you have to be such a jerk? This is your brother we're talking about. This is your flesh and blood. This is your family. For all we knew, he was dead, and now he is home and safe and alive. And your money? Your money? Excuse me? I'm still alive. It's my money. And when I'm gone, you get what I say you get. Now, why don't you take that chip off your shoulder and join the party? Even though he's messed up, even though he has made mistakes, even though he has wasted everything I gave him, He's my son, and I love him. And even though you're a jerk, even though you are arrogant, even though you stare down your nose at everybody else, you're my son, and I love you. There's a party in here. I suggest you lighten up and join it. And now, I've got two sons again. And it's just me, a widowed single dad, doing the best he can with these two kids. Trying to give them a successful launch into the world. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. All I know to do is love them. And Jesus said, the commonwealth of God is something like that. That's not the only story of the kingdom of God. Jesus has a bunch of them, and if you want to read them, they're in the book. But there's a lot in that story about who you are and about who I am and about who God is. That bleeding heart, lovesick parent . Good night. Amen. As we ponder the things that are laid upon our hearts, let's sing "Why When We Are Living," number 356.